The face can wear a mask, but the hands cannot be gloved. These are the words of Chiro. Hello and welcome to Occult Lives. This episode is about the palm reader, Chiro. Born in Dublin on November the 1st, 1866, as William John Warner, his father was the Count of Hammond, and William John Warner later took the name Count Lewis Hammond when the title was passed to him. Warner became Chiro when he began his palmistry career. Wanting an occult name, he took his from the Greek word chiromancy, which means the reading of the lines of the hand. It was his mother who introduced him to reading the lines of the palm. He was 11 years old, and she wanted to distract him from his father, who was busy with business. He was immediately fascinated at the lines and markings his mother pointed out. She told him to go look for somebody else with the same lines and markings on their hand as his own. So he set out, caught up in the mission. He never realised how late it was getting as he inspected every person's hand that he met, not finding any the same as his own or like any other. His worried parents found him late in the evening and dragged him back home. His curiosity in palmistry had begun. Chiro was sent to a school that were training for the church. But the day before his graduation, his father's business crashed and Chiro found himself having to find a new path in life. He decided to travel to London, and on the train there he took a seat in a carriage that held one other person. As he went to sit down, he noticed a discarded book. He asked the other passenger if it was his, and the passenger angrily declared not. Chiro looked at the book and was astonished to find it was a book on palmistry. And not any old book on palmistry. It was a copy of the first Western book written on palmistry back in 1476, called The Art of Chiromancy. He felt the stars were directing him back to his hobby. He had read every book he could find on the matter, and he cheered at the fact that such distinguished philosophers as Aristotle and Pliny studied palmistry too, and confirmed Chiro's belief that palmistry is an old world science. It was the Christian fathers who had denounced palmistry divination as witchcraft and outlawed the practice, which is why, as Chiro says, this old practice fell to vagrants, tramps and gypsies to continue. Chiro wanted to find the roots to palmistry, and so he travelled to India, where he stayed with the Brahmins, who allowed him to read a most sacred book on palmistry and other occult works. This book he describes as being made from human skin, and the ink was of a red colour, and to preserve this book, the pages had been anointed in a special oil. He was taught Samudrika, the meaning of the lines on the body, and then he progressed to the higher science of Hastarika, the science of the hands. When he felt he had learnt all that he could know from the Brahmins, he returned to London. Gypsies and fortune tellers had been reading palms as their trade for centuries. So that was where one had to go if one wanted to have a palm read. Palmistry was not in the mainstream in Chiro's day. There was no New Age type shops one could just walk in and have the palms or the tarot or whatever read. There was no high street occult type shop to offer such services. So when Chiro set up his office's business as a palmist, he was the first, an entrepreneur, and he had thoroughly studied his trade first. When he arrived back in London, he had come into a large inheritance from a family passing, and so he was able to set himself up. It was during this period that he had to decide upon a name for himself, a name that would be magical and would also advertise his talent. It was in a dream that the word Chiro stood out to him in both Greek and English letters, and he knew it was a name meant for him. He collected palm prints from all varieties of people, which included visiting hospitals and prisons, so that he could study his art and the impressions of people's hands from all walks of society. He took an office in a Scotch woman's premises and advertised himself as a man who would give a reading for any fee, so that even the poorest were welcome. His landlady took offence to his trade and sprinkled the rooms with holy water each night. Chiro was instantly popular. He was the new vogue, and soon his appointment book was full for weeks ahead. He was visited by the rich and famous, businessmen and society women. Chiro kept up on all the latest books and papers on the anatomy of the hand, the scientific facts behind its workings. Chiro noticed that the hands could give away one's health, and he was later to explain that he did this by studying the corpuscles, the blood cells in the tips of the fingers and the lines of the hands. When given a reading, Chiro would sit only with the person whose hand was being read. Nobody else would be allowed in the room. He did not know the name of his subject either. Sometimes the women came veiled so that Chiro could not identify them. Often Chiro was hired for parties or dinner occasions to be the entertainment, and he would meet the guests one by one. He would be sat at a table with a curtain drawn across the middle. The guests would sit on the other side of the table and pass their hands through the curtains for Chiro to peruse. Chiro would study every inch of the hand, from the tips of the fingers to the ends of the wrists. Chiro claimed he looked at not only the lines of the palm, but also the skin texture, the shape and formation of the hand, the length of the fingers, and their shape too. Everyone's handprint is unique, which is why police use fingerprinting in detecting criminals. Chiro scoffs at people who think they can change their fingerprints by burning them off, because when the skin is healed, the same lines form again. Though all palm prints are unique, everybody still has a distinct template to the lines on palm. A pattern of three distinct lines in particular cut across our palms, known as the line of the head, the line of the heart, and the line of life. Chiro calls this a natural positioning. If these lines are there on all our palms, then they must mean something. And it used to say in the Bible, in Job, verse 34, chapter 7, God calls signs or seals on the hands of all the sons of men, that the sons of men might know their works. But this seems to have been changed in later editions to something about man scorning water. There are many other lines on the hand which all have significance and importance, reading the person's character, personality and their past, present and future. The headline position is the most important line according to Chiro, as it tells about the mental state of the person throughout their life, whether it changes, develops or remains the same. It is positioned across the palm and starts between the thumb and the first finger and is sometimes attached to the lifeline. The line of life starts in or near where the thumb and the forefinger meet and curves out and down the palm towards the wrist. Again, the colouring, markings, the breaks, etc. on the line all depict weak and strong moments in life, health, especially the stomach and digestion system. Chiro could read the lifespan and its up and downs from this line, when they would occur and how they would affect the subject. The heart line, the line across the palm below the fingers, relates to the affectionate disposition of a person and is also akin to mental love, to be in love, to love, and how we deal with it, whether one can receive love or even give it. One's character traits can be revealed by a few marks on the hand, whether the line is straight, curved, chained, deep, forked at the end, and so on, is all read by the palmist. Both hands are compared to see if there is difference in the lines. Chiro says the left hand reveals inherited tendencies, whereas the right hand shows the developed, cultivated qualities one does or does not learn as one grows. A true palmist will be able to read from the lines whether one's mental state has developed since childhood or not. Chiro claims that with palmistry, he can tell if one has an imagination or not. The hands are covered in lines, marks, crosses, islands, and all these marks and where they are placed indicated something, whether it is to do with the character, the future, or the fortune of that person. At one of the many parties Chiro performed at, he was asked to read a rather fat pair of hands that had been pushed through the curtain. They were a man's hands, and they were a pair that struck Chiro so much. So he said of them, "The left hand promised the most unusual destiny of brilliancy and uninterrupted success, which was completely broken and ruined at a date on the right." And he informed his subject that the left hand was that of a king, but that his right hand showed he would be a king sent into exile. The subject revealed himself to be the renowned Oscar Wilde, and he listened to Chiro's prediction that his life would take a dramatic change in his very early 40s. Whilst living in Paris, Chiro, as well as still reading palms, started up two successful newspapers. It was during this time he read the hands of the actress Sarah Bernhardt and was also to meet royalty. Chiro never knew the names of his subjects as he studied them. Whoever was sat behind the curtain, he rarely actually met till after the reading. But one time, when he was giving a reading, the curtain fell down, and he was astonished to find himself face to face with the Prince of Wales and the future King of England, Edward VII. The Prince took an interest in Chiro's knowledge of numerology, especially regarding dates, and he employed Chiro's services for this when he was a king. Chiro was fascinated by the occult mysteries of numbers, and along with his studies in ancient Hebrew, where letters relate to numerals, he soon became an adept at the Kabbalah. When given a reading, he would work out which number or numbers were significant to the subject, and so he was able to foresee their future. He once read for the Shah of Persia, and through numerology, he was able to predict a date when the Shah was going to be assassinated. On that date, the Shah doubled his guard, and when an attempt on his life was made, it was thwarted. When Chiro was explaining his system of numerology at his talks, he often used charts of deceased people to demonstrate, quite often using those of Napoleon and Wellington. He would explain what numbers related to these individuals and how they affected them through life, through dates, whether days, months, years, how certain numbers crop up again and again throughout people's lives, and if understood, could be used to one's own advantages. Well, we all have good days and bad days, and maybe if we discover our own individual number or numbers that are significant to us and implement them into our lives, then maybe we will be able to foresee good days and bad days for ourselves. One of Chiro's great friends was the Professor Edmund O. D'Ardy, who was a well-known inventor, but a lesser-known occultist. D'Ardy had invented a new machine, a thought photography machine, and Chiro was fascinated by it. The professor wanted to investigate the belief in the ether that is all around us, and he was also known as the medical electrician because he studied the power of electricity and what it could do. D'Ardy was aware that to be alive, a human needs a current of electricity running through him or her. During his investigations of these mysteries, he produced a machine that could be affected by a concentrated mind. The apparatus consisted of a needle that was attached to an arm that hung over a disc. The point of the experiment was to move the needle with the power of the mind, and the movement would make a mark on the disc below. Chiro championed this kind of invention. Chiro wanted to make the world a better place. Every day he could see the suffering and misery of most people's lives. He thought what was missing was the true spiritual, soulful aspect of living on this planet, and he strongly believed that humans were not supposed to live like this, but instead live in harmony together. He thought this could be accomplished if people would learn the occult ways, perhaps train in occult studies, and thus understand the mysteries of life. If everybody had the astrological birth chart read to them, then they would hopefully follow the right path and accomplish their mission on life. If every person understood the way of numbers and how they affect them, then they would live a better life, knowing and understanding how the world operates. But sadly, too few have faith in this kind of teaching, and so the majority live their lives with no guidance from the map on their palm or the astrological birth chart that reveals all. Chiro had taken on so many appointments that he became ill under the strain and ended up having to shut shop to recover. This took a few months, and by the time he was back to full health, he had decided to go to America with the idea to start up a new consultancy there. He arrived knowing nobody, but within weeks his name was passing through the city of New York as a marvellous man. A lady journalist came from the newspaper The World and asked to give him a test. She gave him a set of hand impressions and asked him to give a reading on each. It took him a day and she stayed with him whilst he worked upon them. She left with his notes on the prints and told him the results would be published in the weekend paper. Chiro found the wait a strain, but when the paper was delivered on Sunday, he read a raving review where the journalist stated he had completed the test perfectly, describing the characters and traits perfectly to the persons that handprints he had read belonged to. The leading story made Chiro a success, and once again his appointment books were getting full with customers, and soon he was reading the palms of many famous peoples. One of his visitors was the writer Mark Twain, and they soon struck up a friendship, discussing the lines of the hands and how none are the same as another. Twain went on to write a tale, Puddinhead Wilson, where thumbprints were a major part of the storyline. Chiro also gave private lessons to over 600 businessmen on how to read palms. They wanted to know, at a quick glimpse, what type of person they were dealing with in business to help them judge employees, customers and other folks. Chiro gave them instruction for rapid observation, which means looking at the hand, observing the fingers, being able to read what type of person they were by just this. Chiro states that there are 7 types of hands which he has given names to. The elementary hand is a short but thick-set hand with brutal tendencies, and Chiro states it is the lowest type. The square hand is not the hand shape but the palm that is square and belongs to practical people. The spatulate hand is irregular looking with large ended fingers. People with this hand are full of energy. The philosophic hand is a long hand with bony fingers, and these people are, as the name says, of a philosophic nature. The artistic hand is a graceful looking hand and will be of an emotional temperament. The psychic hand is the hand of the dreamer. Though beautiful, they are also weak looking hands. Lastly, there is the mixed hand, which is what it says, a mixture of all or some of the above types in varying degrees. And he says people with these hands are themselves changeable, jack of all trades but masters of none type folk. Chiro wrote many books on occult subjects, his most known being the palmistry and numerology. He wrote a book of predictions of world affairs in the coming centuries that predicted world wars, recessions and country downfalls. Russia's demise he foresaw quite clearly. He seemed to be particularly concerned that the world was going to be battered by many earthquakes, and he devoted a whole chapter to it, along with other chapters on ancient history, such as the origins of the pyramids of Egypt. Chiro said one can predict the future because he believes that behind everything there is an intelligent design, and that intelligent design, whether we call it God, nature or whatever, has a plan to how the universe unfolds, a blueprint to existence and everything else that happens, and that he, Chiro, was lucky enough to see into that blueprint with the aid of his numerology and other divination gifts. Chiro died on October the 8th, 1936, aged 69 in California, where he had set up a thriving practice of reading the hands of the rich and famous. Chiro believed his talents of divination and numerology to be a gift that he was grateful for, but he was concerned about fakes and fraudsters who were out there now making a living from the same trade. He feared imitators would bring the trade into disrepute due to their poor knowledge of occult sciences. He believed one had to be an adept to be able to read palms properly, and he continually regarded himself as an ongoing student of the occult, ever learning something new. Chiro wrote, "One thing is certain, the occult side of life is the real life that, like a thread of gold, binds all together." All you have heard has been looked up and researched by myself, but you can find out more on Chiro in books, the web, talking and libraries. Thanks for listening, and until next time, peace and out.